Are you calculating what God owes you, or trusting Him to lavish grace on those with no claim, so your work overflows in gratitude rather than grumbling? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We have a lot of great information on both of those websites, and I think you'll really find that you will be helped to be effective and productive and empowered and all the other good words in the public square. So, check us out there. Also, if you enjoy these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment, and or place this in your Washington Defender huddle. And finally, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much. It really does help us produce great resources like this and to come to you daily and share the word of God. Because one of the things that we know is if we don't have a changed heart, we're not going to have a changed public square. If we don't love our neighbor, we're not going to see the public square changed. If we have policies and or desires out here that are selfish, it's because we have selfishness in our heart. So we firmly believe that the things of the heart flow out into the public square and into our workplaces and to all the things around us. So we are in a series called Abraham, and today it's subtitled Wages or Faith, Romans chapter 4, 4 through 5. And so if you haven't studied Abraham, I want to encourage you to do that. He's the father of our faith. And go back to Genesis chapter 11, and you can read chapters 11 through 25 and check that out. So let's look at Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now look at verse 4. This is where we're going today. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. I'm going to break this 4 and 5, I think, into two different days. So we're going to talk about work, and I'm going to talk about this second part of, but believes in him, so faith. And so think about the idea of work and faith and where we're going to go with that in our life. And as you go to the public square today, you really have a chance to either demonstrate your faith or you do works that also demonstrates a faith. And so I want to read the wages part first and use an illustration from Jesus. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard." So here we have a landowner. He went out, found some laborers, and he said, "Hey, if you go out and work, you're going to get a denarius for the day." And so they went out. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, the public square. And to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." And so they went. And again, he went out about the sixth hour. So you notice that it was in the morning, third hour, sixth hour, and the ninth hour. And he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, ooh, it's getting towards the end of the day, he went out and found others standing around. He said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said, "Because no one hired us." And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." So they felt entitled to more than just one denarius that they agreed to. But he answered and said to them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" Now, this is really important. You know, I'm not really trying to interpret or give commentary on the story too much. But one of the things he says, "Or is your eye envious because I'm generous?" So they looked at it as not being generous, but they agreed to the denarius for a day. And he was actually be generous to the one who only worked an hour. They missed the whole point. So the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So that's like working for your wages. And this is what, you know, as we look at this, the landowner owns it. God is our landowner. So that's one way to look at your day. Am I getting what I'm owed? Am I entitled to more? That kind of thing. Or we can go to Galatians 3:8-9, which talks about faith. "The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham." I love this because we see that God is going to justify the Gentiles. The who? The Gentiles. The who? The Gentiles. By faith. And so he preached the gospel. How many gospels are there? How many good news are there? There's one. Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. There's only one gospel from Abraham all the way to until today. So Abraham was preached the gospel message. And I've had people tell me, well, he wasn't preached the whole gospel or wasn't, you know, I don't know. All I know is that Paul, who is a Jew, who was writing this book to Galatians, says Abraham was preached the gospel. And so beforehand to Abraham saying, all nations will be blessed in you. Now, I'm not sure how that is the gospel, but I do know it's the truth. This is what Paul says. So then those who are faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. So this is where the idea that somehow the church has replaced the Abraham covenant, it doesn't say that right here. It says that actually the opposite. Then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. It's very important you understand this concept. Faith or wages? Do I want to get what I'm owed for the day, like the first story we read? And then we will fight and we'll grumble and we'll complain that someone got more or less or whatever than I got. Or do I want to have faith in the one who does it? So now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for today as you go into the public square? Is your hope in Jesus Christ? Is your hope to share your faith? The conviction of things not seen. What are your convictions? So like I have a conviction that one day I will be in the presence of Almighty God giving an account for each and every one of my days. That's a conviction I have. I have a conviction that God is my creator. I have a conviction that God is my deliverer. I have a conviction, you know, I mean, there's just promise after promise out of God's word. And I'm assured in those things. That's where I place my hope is in God. And so as you go throughout your day, you have to ask yourself that exact same question. Are you placing your hope in your workplace, your employer, your marriage, your kids, your grandparents, your grandkids? Oftentimes where your joy is lost, your identity is switched. So what do I mean by that? When your joy goes out the door, it may be because you're hoping for something that you're not supposed to be hoping for. Maybe you have an idol of the heart. And our conviction, we need to have firm and foremost. So I have a conviction that God is my provider. You know how much peace that brings when your paycheck doesn't come from another individual, but from God? He provides. Well, how do you know? He just does. He provides. I have a conviction that God goes before me in all things. Well, what's your evidence? I don't know. The word says it. That's my conviction. So Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by faith, men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I know that sounds like a grandiose thing, but what if we apply that to our daily lives today? Did God create today for you, for me? Well, it says that he's written every one of our days down in his book as when before there was ever one of them. So he created it for us. And so by faith, I have a conviction that my days are planned by God. Now, are there times that I forget that God created those things, my day? Yes, that's when I get into my flesh and I get argumentative, I get anxiety, I get fear, I get frustration, I get whatever it might be. But I have the conviction, and I got come back to that, that my hope is in Jesus Christ. They prepared the world. Faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. What we see, it's not things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gift, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because of God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. So as you go into the public square, as you go into your workplace today, are you working for your wages? Are you working by faith? That God is a rewarder of those who seek him. What if we did the second part? Instead of coming back and complaining that we got the same wage as someone else, what if we came back and said, God, thank you so much. You've entrusted so much to my day. You somehow placed in my midst the ability to walk and to talk and to share you with others, that today we're going to believe God and take him at his word. Please, we're going to be pleasing to God, and we're going to seek him in that public square. I'm going to pray that as you go throughout your day, that your faith will be energized by the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you, and that your eyes will be open to share the loving message of Jesus Christ with someone today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We do thank you that you go before us in all things. God, we pray over Washington State today. We pray that you would touch our state, cause the children of faith to rise up with our hope in you and not in government or anything else, that we may share Jesus with someone around us, that you would go before us and be with us and beside us. God, you are such a gracious God, a righteous God. You uphold us even when we stumble and fall. God, you are your right hand uphold us. And so we thank you for what you want to do in our hearts and our minds today. Open our eyes to the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcasts. We just need a change and transformation today. God, we lift up Governor Bob Ferguson. We pray for salvation to be upon his heart, that he would know you in a deep and intimate way. We pray for other elected officials, God, that you would go before them, whether they're in the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, God, that we would see salvation come to our elected officials. We lift up our county commissioners to you today. Go before them. Our school board members, we pray that you would be with them each and every step of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.